Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us, and boy, what a day to have you with us today. Just as soon as we get done today, a couple of wonderful things. I know that I think most of you that are here are going to be a part of the state dinner that we've got scheduled. Things are going on rapidly over in the CLC, getting everything ready for that. But even before the state dinner, and if there's any of you that were not able to be a part of the state dinner, if you want to be, we've still got a few tickets left that we're selling at the door. They're setting up to make sure there's enough food for everybody, but we do have a few extra tickets. The biggest thing, and I would need to know this like immediately after worship, would be what state you would want to claim as your own. For those of you that are not going to be a part of the state dinner, we still would like you to stay after worship. Over in the CLC, this is our new member Sunday, and we've got cake and punch over there. I suppose for those that are staying for the state dinner, it means that life is good. We get to eat dessert first, but still, the cake that's over there, before we cut into it, we're going to be taking a couple pictures of it, both of our new members and also one of the most beautiful looking cakes I've ever seen. They really did a good job with that. So we're going to have just a short new member installation right after the message this morning. Just a couple of other things that we have got going on next weekend. Regardless of which service that you go to, regardless of whether you're a new officer or someone that feels like you've been doing it for 31 years, all the officers are being installed at all of the worship services next weekend. Whichever one you go to, that's the one that we'll be installing at. So we hope that you can join us for that then next weekend. Our Wednesdays are going to continue. Our Last Ladies Guild before the summer is this coming Wednesday. And because actually the actual day of the International World Day of Prayer is Thursday, but we're going to be recognizing that just a little bit in the midst of some of the things we're going to be doing with the Ladies Guild, and especially with our Wednesday night worship. The crosswalks, our theme Wednesday night is going to be prayer. And so we're just as a part of recognition about that, we hope that you can join us for that. And do remember what the point of those crosswalks worships are. On behalf of people that haven't been to church in a long time, maybe ever, and for those of the rest of you, because we've had some of our people that are gathered here this morning that have been going to those worships, you actually would be surprised how much it will appeal to you, even if the service is kind of targeted at somebody else. But if you're ever going to get yourself to the point where you're going to ask somebody else to come and join you at church, somebody who's been away from church for a long time or maybe doesn't go at all, probably the only way you're going to get comfortable doing that is for you yourself to get comfortable in the service. So I'm always inviting our members to be a part of that Wednesday night service. Every week at 6:30, it is not a long service. So we want to remember in our prayers for this morning, both Robert and Denise Hackman have spent some time in the hospital this past week. And it's kind of like both their health and who's in the hospital just kind of keeps going back and forth. At the moment, they're both out and are continuing their recuperation. We also want to remember our member Roseanne. Her husband, his father, was taken from his life this past week, and he is headed north to be dealing with funerals and arrangements and so forth. But we need to pray for that family this morning. Also, our member Pat Zimdahl, she's a part of the Faith Factor worship team. They had their concert at the Oasis Coffee Spot. A lot of you were there last night. It was great to see you. Her mom has just been moved into hospice, and so we also need to keep her in our prayers for this morning. Please make sure that you let us know that you were here this morning. Fill out those Faith Fellowship cards. Those are in the racks in front of you, and you can hand those to the usher at the conclusion of the offering for this morning. The last thing is that for those of you that did order the faith cards, what we call script, it is available this morning. Hopefully you've already gotten yours. If you haven't, we will have it available just as soon as church is over. We will be taking orders for those again next weekend, and make sure that that's a program that you get participating in. Okay, our order of service, the service of prayer and preaching, does not begin with a hymn. and the confession of service is moved a little back into the service, or excuse me, the greeting of the peace is moved a little further back into the service. So we're going to take a moment of silence here to prepare our hearts for worship, and then we'll begin with the responsive reading on the top of page 3 or up on the screen. May God bless us on this most special day today. As you are able, please stand. And we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Praise the Lord. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, beginning with a time for silent prayer. God, you who are gracious and merciful, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have turned away from abiding in your love. We have been enticed by our own desires and lured away from your love by the spirits of this age. Yet greater is Jesus, who dwells in us by faith. For his sake, forgive our sins and bring us again to abide in your love. Our gracious God hears you and loves you. He has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to Him, trusting His mercy and grace. May He keep you steadfast in the Holy Spirit, lead you to greater faith, to great and growing obedience, and finally bring you to live with Him forever. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve and worship our Lord, let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Tell him the good news about Jesus. St. Luke writes, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is in 1 John chapter 4. Test the spirits. God is love. The apostle writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he is in who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. So we ought to love one another. Long ago, and at many times, and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. We speak together the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Friends, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. You may be seated. May God's grace, mercy, and peace overflow in you abundantly through the Savior who loves us that we may love one another. Amen. Friends, if there is one word that you would think that finally we can connect to the world with, it is love. In all these words that we have in Holy Scripture that, well, they just aren't used. There's no usage for them in our language or in our culture today. Supposedly, love should be the one that connects us to them. But does it? We are living in a culture today where, yes, even the word love would seem to be in trouble. Is it on its way to extinction? Oh, I would hope not. But even from going back a couple generations ago when there were songs being written that says sometimes love just ain't enough. Well, it is if you understand what love really is, not what somehow we have turned it into. And we need to be able to grasp just what this love of God really is. Because everything that has brought us here, especially today, is about the love of God. It's about God showing us just how important we really were. Long before any of you were born, pieces were being put into place that obviously if we weren't born yet, we could not have known. But even the people that were in place where all of this was being set up specifically so that you could be placed into that time and be able to see for yourself the love of God. And it is a most remarkable thing when we are able to see it, to understand it, and to recognize how God gives us his love in more ways than we could ever imagine. And that's kind of a tragedy. Because out in the rest of the world, they have some of the strangest definitions of love. Love seems to be at best, a fleeting thing. A thing that where you'll hear a lot of things like, I love you, but, or if, or any kinds of other words that are attached to it, and the love of God that really is all around them in their lives, if they wanted to see it, they don't recognize it. Friends, we need to recognize it, and the way that we do it is first to understand what God's love is all about. You know, one of the best places that we saw God's love was back at the beginning of time. Now, I'm not talking about the creation of the world, though certainly, you know, when he places mankind into the middle of creation, boy, is that an act of love. But maybe the first great set of acts of love by God was right after we fell into sin. Now, certainly not everything was pleasant, but boy, did God show his love. He gives us the promise of a Savior, a sacrifice that was going to require his very own Son, given for each and every one of us. But his love didn't stop there. His love understood that now that we know the difference between good and evil, that the best thing he can do is make sure that we are being clothed as once Adam and Eve saw each other and wanted to essentially run for cover. So God clothed us. And then in the midst of that, okay, nothing will ever compare to the gift that God did give us in Jesus Christ. But the next act of love that he gave was utterly remarkable. And that is when he removed us from the Garden of Eden. Up until that point, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that was an act of love, but wait a minute, removing us from the Garden of Eden? Oh, yeah. When you remember what was taking place, because the fall into sin, just remember what that was all about. God created one of the most idyllic places there had ever been, and he gave us one challenge of faithfulness. And we failed it. And we failed it miserably, and it's entirely possible we failed it rather quickly. But there was another tree in the garden called the Tree of Life. The Lord made it clear, now that our lives and our world is going to be filled with sin, the last thing you would ever want was to live forever in that world. And so he removed us from the garden, and he had the cherubim with the flaming sword to make sure that nobody would ever be able to eat of the tree of life, simply because that would have been a hell indeed. Even though it never is a good thing to remove people from the world, it's in a time that causes so much pain and suffering and heartache for God's people, still, it is a better alternative when it means that in faith we get to go to the new heavens and the new earth with new glorified bodies, able to enjoy what we may call a new Eden, freed and away from all of that. That's God giving us that final wonderful act of love. So now here we are in this world, and God is continuing to love us. But there are certain things that he wants from us, and it might help for us to remember them, although to the point, there are more things that we are not asked to do. You know, one of the things that's always said about love, especially in a relational type of love, is that love has got to be able to kind of keep flowing back and forth both ways. Even if there's difficulty understanding that some of what's going one way really is love. If one person is giving all the love and the other person isn't giving any, it doesn't seem like that relation's going to last very long. There really isn't going to be too much true love there. But seems more times than not that in the world of sin and even in our own reality, that it seems like God is doing most of the loving. He keeps pouring that love on us. And so then maybe it's a good thing. We are asked to do and to be many things towards God, but we are not asked specifically to love him, at least not in the sense that he loves us. We are not asked to love him the way he loves. Why not? We can't. It's not possible. The love that God shows for us goes beyond anything we can understand or be able to in some way duplicate. What God does ask is that he asks, if God loves us, we are to love one another. Not him, one another. That is to be the reflection of his love. That is to let other people see in the midst of the darkness of this world, the place where they can see the light of God's love is through each and every one of us. And God places us into ways in this world in which, yes, we can show that love. We can reflect that love because the world needs the kind of love that comes from God through each and every one of us. And that's why God does something else for us. Where in the midst of the things that he's doing for his love for us, asking us to love one another, he makes it clear that we're going to have to live through times of what is called pruning. Now, I'm not the greatest expert to talk about these kinds of things. Folks, the only way I'm ever going to get a green thumb is if somebody hands me a green Sharpie. I can't do it. I've tried. But I do know, because my parents love doing a lot of that kind of stuff, and they had me doing all kinds of pruning when I was a boy, and there would be several times where they would ask me to do what is involved in pruning, and it seems like you're removing just about everything that seems of any value from something. And at some point, you just sit there and ask, why? And then, and you understand the answer that usually you'd get as a child. Well, then you'd go off and you would do the pruning and you got done. And folks, you had about the ugliest looking thing you have ever seen. Something that has just been pruned is not very attractive, but it is necessary if it's ever going to be able to bear more fruit. Now, the unfortunate thing is it seems like every time I got to the point where I was doing some pruning, I never got to see the results of what happened in terms of bearing more fruit. My parents lived in El Paso, Texas for a year, and they had a peach tree that was in their backyard that they asked me to prune, and they just kept telling me, no, got to take that. And when I got done, I've never seen a tree that looked so bad in all my life. And I'm like, now this thing is supposed to give us peaches? Yeah, it might take a couple of years. Well, then in a year they moved, and I never got to benefit from any of the things that we got to see. Now, as God's people, we have to prepare ourselves for that. That as God, first of all, prunes us so that we can bear more fruit, the fruit that we bear is not always going to result in us being able to see how God is working through us. After taking a number of mission trips from my previous congregation, almost all of which were held in the winter, we finally took our first summer one to a city in Iowa that had experienced what seemed to be at that time about a 10,000-year flood. A lot of homes were flooded that were in places they couldn't even get flood insurance because they weren't considered to be in any kind of a floodplain. But when you have a flood this bad, well, yeah, they're going to flood too. A lot of those homes were now abandoned, and groups were basically buying up the homes so that we could go in and do whatever it is we need to do, both inside and outside, to prepare the homes for a complete reconstruction. That at some point, there were going to be new people, sometimes through subsidized programs, sometimes even through grants, that they would get this home. But we would never get to see who the beneficiaries of our work ever was. And we were told that from the very beginning. This is one job where you will not get to meet the people that will benefit from this. And those people that do benefit will never know who those people were and how hard they worked and how many of them there were that were sharing the love of Christ by preparing something that they would never know who was going to occupy it. Friends, we are able to make a difference in the lives of God's people, but sometimes we'll never know. We are still, though, asked to share that love of Christ. Because the love of Christ asks for us to do so many things, not the least of which is to always be ready based on the Word of God. I wasn't going to spend much time on the Old Testament lesson simply because it's a story that requires a lot of going through, but suffice to say that Philip had what was the opportunity of a lifetime. That somebody was reading a passage of Scripture that was just begging to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are a couple times I've looked at that passage and like, oh, if only it would be just that simple for each and every one of us. And yet, somehow, you look back on your life and we've had those opportunities. The question is, are we ready for them? Are we ready to reflect? Because ultimately, that is the last thing that we are asked to do, is to always be ready so that we can reflect the love of God. Oh, sin is always going to get in our way. And there's always going to be things in which sometimes, the darkness of our own lives, the kinds of things that bring the lures and temptations, just part of our personality, is going to keep us from doing that which we should be best at doing. But God has allowed us an opportunity to share even a tiny piece of what he has first given us. And then when we are able to do that, we become a part of the body of Christ. We become a part of the love and the lives of people. A fellowship of faith, if you will, that is able then to do so many things because God has first shown his love to us. Remember, we did not choose him. We did not accept him. We did not go in and make a decision for him. He chose you. And he chose you for a specific purpose. A purpose we may not always understand, but a purpose that has prepared us. Friends, the love of Christ is everywhere we want to see it, and in so many places we would never expect to see it. The love of Christ surprises us with its strength in times of need. But if God is able to give us that kind of love, and he always will, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, at this time, we've got a new member fellowship that's coming up here, but one of the things that we wanted to, I wanted to share with you just quickly is that I did get a call of one of our other new members that's going to be here, Tim Schwab. I think most of you know who he is. One time he was clean shaven, now he's probably gotten enough beard for about four of us, and he usually sits in back. He ended up having to come to the service last night because of a conflict that had arisen from him. But we are receiving him by transfer from it's Family of Faith Lutheran Church, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so that leaves then just unfortunately one person, but one person who stands as a mighty army in terms of the gifts that God has given to us this morning. And that's Loretta. She's with us this morning. Loretta, would you like to come forward for just a moment here? And I'd actually come back to you, but there's somebody that's standing up in a balcony that would really have a hard time taking the pictures that he wants to take. So come on up here, and I think you now just stand right here. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm always excited about our new members, but there are few in life in terms of the types of things that we are receiving from a person who has served as a Stephen minister. Some of you may not know what that is, but believe me, you'll be able to find out soon enough because we've had Stephen ministers here before, and who is able to fill an entire room, an entire afternoon, an entire week if you need to, with stories that's better than anything you'll ever hear from me. And that's the absolute truth. A very special individual that we are also receiving. She's but also been active in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, particularly in the district that also included. You might remember our president David Benke. She was very active with him, and we are receiving her from your church that was in. Spelled like Cairo, like in Egypt, except it's pronounced Cairo. Yes. So, indeed, beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ had said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So, friends, as we lift up our hearts to the God of all grace, I ask you joyfully to give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of the members of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in your baptism? If so, answer, I do. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you would, and intend to hearing the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts that God has given you, especially amongst your time, your talents, your treasures, your testimony, and all that God has first shared with you? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, answer, I do. Very good. And upon this your confession of faith, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. And I publicly declare that you are now a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of Faith Lutheran Church here in Newport Richey. I invite you to receive the Lord's Supper to participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, friends, you have just heard this sharing of faithfulness. I now ask you before God, do you graciously receive Loretta and also Tim as your very own? Do you promise to pray for them, help support them, integrate them into the life of the church, and remind always that as we walk in our walk of faith together, we do so with the help and guidance of the Lord? If so, answer, we will with God's help. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. In the midst of your great goodness, you have brought your son and daughter to the knowledge of your son. We ask that you would grant by your word and spirit that they continue steadfast, that their time here be truly blessed in the fellowship of our congregation, that we together work together in the path and mission that you have set before us, that we fight the good fight of faith until we receive the crown of righteousness. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so we welcome you to the Lord's family here. And again, that we invite you as soon as we're done to a special time of a fellowship with a piece of cake. And I got to have you stand right here. And because somebody is actually going to ask us to stand up there, and just very quickly, as long as he's there, we'll do that. I had a pastor, thank you, Loretta. I had a pastor that actually did that in the middle of a wedding once, and I'm like, no, we won't think so. Okay, friends, this has been a great thing for us today, and we're always looking for God's people who become new members. They come from you. They come from neighborhoods. They come from fellowships. They come from friendships. But we don't have a whole lot of new member Sundays, but we are always preparing ourselves to receive God's people here into the family of faith. And we welcome each one of them into our midst. So as we receive our first fruits and offerings, remember that in the midst of the treasures that God has given us, let's also commit ourselves. In the midst of our testimony of life, that we look for people that would also become a part of our family of faith here. We receive our offerings. Peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who are traveling, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, and the dying in their last days, especially do we pray this morning on behalf of Robert and Denise Hackman, also Leah Wiest, who was hospitalized late this past week, on behalf of the family of William Verheyen Sr., on behalf of Joan Zimdahl and her family, and those now whom we name before the Lord in our hearts, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness, and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray this closing prayer together. O God, you call your people to confess that Jesus is Lord. Grant us faith to trust that your dwelling presence in us is greater than any happiness we may try to find apart from abiding in you, in whom alone true joys are found. May our voices and lives proclaim you always as our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Friends, on your way out, make sure that you pick up a copy of the May calendar, since we're now at the end of April. And again, join us across the way for we've got a cake reception first on behalf of new members Sunday before we get started with the state dinner. It'll be a good half hour or so before we get started with the state dinner. But join us for that time of reception and fellowship that we have. And friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.